Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 42 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joining in is a rotating panel of guests and our host, well, for this episode, Craig Cassina, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Well, on today's episode, it's a bit of a change of format as Brent Cassino leads the way, as Raf Suhu and myself discuss our great time at the Mocha Fest, plus we go through some recent comic book news, including DC Comics' latest reveals. And, of course, America's favorite game show, Who the Heck is a Skrull? Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 42 of Comic Timing. And, well, I'm immediately going to turn it over to the co-host, not co-host, co-host, Brent Cassina, as he's going to be doing most of the talking on this episode, as it is a Mocha review episode. And, well, he's the one who didn't go to Mocha, so he's going to be asking us questions about it. But, yeah, take it away, Mr. Cassina.
Hey, folks, this is Brent Cassina in for Comic Timing. Ian is a little busy right now, being the second chair tonight, so I'm going to take over. Listen to my smooth, sexy voice.
I'm busy doing stuff.
Anyway, we got Ian and Raf on tonight. Ian, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Brent. Haven't talked to you in a while. Doing great. Enjoying it, you know? I mean, it's the first time I've been on the show before, so...
How's it feel to be a guest on your own show?
Oh, you know, it's super, actually. You know, it kind of feels like the first couple episodes, but, you know... That's fun. That's good times.
Speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. Raf, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. Good night. Yeah.
Doing fine. How's it feel to have a host that actually is nice to you on the intro?
That's not bad. It's actually very comfortable.
Shut up, you losers.
All right. So as we all know, Ian and Raf live in New York, and therefore were able to attend Mocha. I live in Florida and therefore was not able to attend. So we're going to have a little Mocha discussion first. Then we're going to move on to the DC teaser image with all the villains by Ethan Van Sciver. And then we're going to play the best game show ever, Who is a Skrull?
Yay.
So let's start off with Mocha. What was it like? Ian, take it away.
Well, Mocha is an experience that, well, year after year is one of my favorite conventions to go to. It's not really a convention. It's more like a festival. And that's what I like about it. I mean, it's not the sort of thing where you're going to go there and, you know, it's not much of a panel experience thing going on, you know? It's the atmosphere of independent comics all throughout the place. You're going to find people who are into comics. You're going to find people who are dressed like emo kids who think that indie comics are really cool. And they're going to be inside also. But mostly it's going to be a bunch of the, you know, true comic fans there. But you'll find some of the other people there as well. It's a great way to find stuff you've never seen before. And it's a great way to find stuff you've never heard before. And, well, yeah. I mean, that's awesome. It's an awesome experience.
So what does Mocha stand for? Isn't it an acronym for something?
Museum of Comic and Cartoon Art.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, so... Is this something that the museum puts on every year?
Yeah.
Does it take place inside the museum? Is museum admission included in this thing? Is it like a museum party where you drink champagne?
Actually, it takes place across the street from the museum. The museum itself is in a building very, very close, and this takes place in the Puck Building around the China. I guess it's around the Chinatown area, right, Raf?
It's actually north. It's in Nolita, which is north of Little Italy.
Yeah.
Literally actually separates the rest of the world from Chinatown.
I hate that term, by the way, Nolita.
Nolita, yeah. I don't like it. I guess you could say it's like Soho-ish. It's around that area, Soho, yeah.
And it's great how we're like alienating everybody who's not from
New York. Yeah, so, okay, it's in New York City, right? On Manhattan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, this is the rest of the world needs to know. Okay. So, back to my original question. Is admission into the museum included in the ticket?
It's not. No, that's separate to all.
Of course.
The museum itself is not a part of this. Really, it's sponsored by the museum. It's basically taking the place of the museum for that day. You're not going to be able to go into the museum really that much. I think it's opened. Like certain exhibits are opened, but unless it's something specifically happening in the museum, then there's no reason to be at the museum.
Have you ever been to the museum?
I've always wanted to go, but I have not.
You've been to Mocha, but not Mocha.
Yes, I've been to Mocha, but I haven't been to Mocha. They did actually have the panels at the actual Mocha Museum this year, so mm-hmm. that was a good way for people who haven't been to Mocha to go there. But of course, I didn't go to any panels. So
of course,
that I still haven't been to Mocha. Do want to go. However, they just started a web comic exhibit, and I really want to go to that. So I'm definitely going to be going there in the next couple of weeks.
Raph, have you ever been to Mocha? Mocha?
Actually, I had a chance to go because I met someone that was working there last year at New York Comic Con, and she was actually running. There was a Superman exhibit last summer for Superman Returns, obviously, and obviously, you know, I'm the world's biggest Superman fan. I have to go. I didn't end up going, and I've been meaning to go there. So yeah, I'm in the same boat as Ian. Actually,
That would actually be second biggest Superman fan next to Jamal Igel, as he proved on your show.
That's not fair. That's not fair. Yeah. He fucking theater freak.
That's all right. So you said Mocha focuses on independent comics. Now, when we're talking independent comics, are we talking Image, Top Cow, Dynamite Entertainment, or are we talking about the low blow, you know, low brow dudes who live in the basement or live in the dark and just draw all day, like Steve Bryant from Athena Voltaire?
Whoa. Hey. He doesn't live in a basement.
He loves you, Steve.
Okay. Well, when we did that episode, his webcam, it looked like a basement.
That's true. Thank you for the throwback there, the refer back to that episode. I'm very happy about that, so thank you. You know, it's a combination of both, and this is the first year, actually, where it's been a combination of both. It's usually just the small creators, just the small independent creators. However, this year was one of the first years where we had Vertigo there. The Mink Slime was there. You had some Image presence. That they're usually there, but it's usually the creators themselves. So if there's an Image book, then there you go. There was no specific Image booth, though. But you did have Vertigo and Minx associated with it, and that's new to the Mocha Festival. That is not usually the case.
Raph, you got anything to add on to that?
It's not. If you're looking for some of the bigger companies, I think besides DC and Image, I think the biggest company I saw there was First Second, the publishers of such books as the Surrogates. It's a lot of independent people. It's a lot of people who, basically, you know, they do their own books, they do their own publishing. They don't really have a powerhouse publisher behind them. Actually, there were a few actual like book publishers there too, I think, if I remember right.
There were, yeah. There was one book, if I remember correctly, I think it was about convention life. I can't remember the full name of it, but they were definitely there. It's usually if they are book publishers, and they're going to be publishers that are making books about comics, usually.
Yeah, I think Random House was one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you take a regular Comic Con. Take out the guys who sell the quarter bins and all that stuff. Take that out and take out a majority of the panels and just leave the artists and leave fans there. And you basically get that atmosphere, except it's so much more fan oriented. Like, because these aren't like professional comic book writers who sit behind their tables and everybody's in all of them. These are just like regular people who, you know, have other jobs outside of comics, and you know, you saw signs where it's like, I'll trade you comics. Like, they'll trade their work for someone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, who does that at a huge convention like San Diego, New York?
So. Barely anybody.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, it's a much smaller, much more like community-oriented thing. It's about the fandom, basically.
So it's less, there are no vendors or little vendors or what?
No, there'll be vendors, but they will be little vendors.
What are they? Are they vending everything and anything like usually, or are they just vending independent stuff?
This is usually going to be the creators, and they'll be vending their own books.
Oh, okay. So it's more like an artist alley type thing over the entire show floor?
A lot more like an artist alley, yeah. In fact, actually, to compare it to anything, it's more like the sort of artist alley you usually find at an anime convention. You usually have never heard of these people, and yet they still manage to have really awesome stuff. At, like, a New York Comic Con, you've usually almost always heard of everybody who's at the artist alley. There'll be one or two people that you haven't really, you know, seen before, but with this one, there are a lot more creators that you haven't actually heard of before.
Well, seeing as how it's an independent comic creator, it's supposed to be people you haven't heard before, right?
Yeah, and that's great about it, because a lot of the times people say they're quote-unquote independent shows, and then you see, like, Jim Lee there, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's not what these shows are about. You know, this is about finding new and intriguing things that you might not have expected to see before.
So, like, if, say, Raph had sent me that script for the CGS collaboration thing back in, May, and I'd managed to get it done in time, I could have been there hawking my own wares and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if Raph wanted to, you know, go ahead and actually get off his ass and start doing stuff like that, then yeah, I mean, you know, he could be at Mocha someday. You know, right, Raph?
Oh, what? What are you guys talking about?
Of course, he knows nothing about it every time I ask him.
Right.
Can't even drop little hints.
No, what's going to happen... All right, fine. You want to break in the segue? What's going to happen with that is I'm going to actually publish... I'm going to start working on the actual series, not just a short. So
okay.
It's going to be the real thing. It's not going to be a part of a collaboration.
Okay,
so
good.
So fuck you, Brent. Forget about it.
No, you... I mean, if you want to continue drawing for it, yeah, you can be my full-time artist.
I just wanted to do that one short thing.
Yeah,
and then now you're bumping it up to some huge thing.
Well,
or if you want,
we don't even know if that works yet. You haven't even seen my sequential skills.
Well,
the lack thereof.
He's gonna have you until he hires somebody like a Phil Jimenez, and then he'll just boot you off. That's it.
Or when Jamal finally gives in.
Yeah,
I'll be the Dave Mustaine to this Metallica band.
Or what's his face that Ringo took over?
Oh yeah, I remember him. Yeah, the original drummer that nobody knows about.
Yep.
Hey. Yeah. Okay. Show.
Okay. So, are there any costumed people walking around this independent comic convention? Walking around their own costumes?
Emo kids.
Yeah.
Emo kids? They don't count as costumes, right?
Well, that's the most costume that you're going to get. This is, again, because it's not an actual convention, the cosplay is very lax. I mean, there might be you'll find maybe one or two people, but they're usually actually associated with a book. You know, they're usually associated with a table, even. There were some people there that, like, for instance, I had an interview with these guys at New York Comic Con, and for the life of me, I can't think of what the fuck their name is all of a sudden. The ones that had, like, the goth dress that were giving away booze at New York Comic Con.
Oh, gee.
Insert name here, insert name
artist,
here.
Were they in Artist Alley? Oh, I know what you're talking about. I just don't remember their name.
I'll have it for you in a second. Because I'm going back.
Let's
going back
close into, our eyes.
I'm going back into the logs.
Travel
here.
Back in time to February.
Yes. Okay. Here
let's
we go. Yeah.
Close our eyes. Open
it.
Our mind.
I've got it. I've got Molly Crabapple of Dr. Sketchy's Rainy Day Coloring Book.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were there in their same sort of, you know, Gothic Lolita outfits that they had at New York Comic Con, and you know that it was all part of the book. They were pimping the book, so that's why they had that. But you're not going to find walking the halls. You're not going to find somebody dressed up like Milk and Cheese. You know, I mean that's just not the way things go here. So I mean, if you do go, you can go ahead and do so, but you'll be the only one.
Yeah.
So from what I'm getting, it's all about finding new stuff and talking to people, actually, instead of just, sign my books.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about that. Definitely. I mean, Raph was there a little less than me, but I'm sure he'll probably agree with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of the time, I didn't bring in a lot of spending money on me, so I didn't buy a lot, but I spent a lot of time. I was there, maybe 3 hours? I spent 2 hours talking to people and just, like, because I want to be in the business, blah, blah, blah. I talked to people about the business. We talked about, you know, stuff they're doing, what they like. We actually talked about the books we were reading. Like, I was like, you know, what do you think about Action Comics? This one guy just spent, like, I think 10 minutes just bitching about Action Comics with me about, you know, the whole Geoff Johns delay and everything. I mean, you know, in the middle of Mocha, which is, you know, you don't expect that. But, you know, these are, just to prove that point again, they're not just creators. They're fanboys and fangirls just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, they happen to love comics and happen to do it instead of just being a passive fan person and just, you know, reading them, which is, you know, that's fine. I mean, they're doing something they like and they're reading it. They're totally immersed in it, and it's fun to be around.
The biggest people that were there were guys like Brian Wood. He was there for DMZ and all the other stuff that he's done, and Evan Dorkin was there. He was there hawking Milk and Cheese and all the other books that he's done as well. But other than that,
did you go say hi?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to go say hi to him, but actually his wife was there, so I just said hi to her. But and I'm trying to think. Rick Spears is his name, right? The guy.
Did they remember you?
Well, he would have remembered me had I actually talked to him. But his wife, you know, is just his wife. So I just got a couple of things from there and said thank you. That's it. They were giving away free comics, actually. So I got a free issue of one of his other works there. I'm going to go through my swag bag later, and I'll show you exactly everything that I got. But
yeah. That's right, guys. He's going to show you. He's going to post pictures.
I am, actually, because I'm actually planning on getting a digital camera in the next, like, 2 weeks or so. Once I get my paycheck, so I will.
Welcome
actually
to the
pictures.
Digital age, Ian.
Yes, indeed, man. But I'm trying to think. It's Rick Spears who does American Virgin, right? and Pirates of Coney Island and that sort of stuff?
I'm 89% sure.
Okay, because I know that he was there, and some of the other guys were there that I've Uncle heard
Sal.
Of before. Uncle Sal was there for Atomica. But
Action Philosophers
was there, but all of those guys are still underground enough where a lot of people are going to say, who the hell is this? You know,
yeah.
The only real guy, literally, out of the only two guys that you would definitely know if you were into comics and, you know, had been paying halfway attention were Brian Wood and Evan Dorgan. That's it.
Oh, and Alison Bechdel.
Okay.
Well, she has the mainstream, she has the mainstream's attention. So
okay. Yeah.
Don't count her.
Yeah.
Hmm. Like the real mainstream, not like comic book mainstream, like real people, not comic booky. Anyway.
I love how you're really trying to back yourself out of a corner there.
Yeah.
That you yourself created, sir.
Yes.
You yourself created.
Jumping in and out of corners.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's Raph.
One listener at a time.
Yes.
You can call you Corner Man now.
Yes. Yes.
Does whatever a corner can.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's the atmosphere like compared to New York Comic Con or Heroes Con or any other like middle con?
Okay.
Like, I guess New York would be too big.
Yeah.
Like a smaller convention or maybe like one of the anime conventions you've been to, Ian.
Well, you know, it's funny actually because when you would compare it to a Artist Alley, I would actually compare the atmosphere to the Artist Alley at New York Comic Con. Because
yeah, totally.
What you have here, you have a setup where this year there were two floors that they were utilizing. The years previously, they only had one floor, where you have a main room when you first walk in, then there's a room to the farthest area where it's a lot more open, and then there's another room in the back of where you walk in where there's about maybe like seven or eight tables set up, and it's a little more squished. This year, they had those three areas, but then they also had the seventh floor, which used to be the panel area, being used for the bigger names, like Vertigo and that sort of stuff. Wizard had a table there, and a couple of other things that, you know, would have expected, you know, at a major convention were up there. But that was also very wide open. So the packed-in part of it reminded me a lot of actual, like, New York Comic Con and that sort of stuff, because it reminded me of having to, like, squeeze yourself by to get through. And there was always a crowd noise, you know, it never was silent in there. Everybody was talking to everybody and, you know, chatting up creators and all that. It wasn't just buying your books and leaving. So that's why it felt a lot like an actual Artist Alley at an actual convention to me.
Raph?
Yeah, you know, I think it's still different from an Artist Alley. I think it's a little more intimate because you're not... You don't have to necessarily, like, at Artist Alley, you've got those people who are standing there who are, like, you know, standing over Ethan Van Sciver or standing over Rob Liefeld or standing over Freddie or Jamal, and they're like, oh my God, it's you, I love your work. It's really a lot looser and a lot more friendly. There's nowhere near that fanboy uptightness about the creators or about being at a con. People are just standing there talking, just talking the day away. People, you know, some people walk by, look at stuff, and walk over. You know, they never touch stuff. And some people just walk around and don't do anything. But it's just, but overall, it's a lot more looser than a usual con usually is, I think.
How is that restraining order coming, by the way?
I've gotten Freddy to lift his. Jim
okay.
is not happy with me, but he's considering it.
Okay.
And Stan Lee is very. We're not. Yeah,
well, let's not talk about that. However, the feedback.
You know, you can't go to California until you get that restraining order lifted, right?
Yeah, because I'm not allowed like within 1,000 miles of Stan Lee. I have to leave the city actually when he comes here for appearances.
But again, everybody, pick up the feedback comic. Came out this week, Dark Horse Comics. Hell yeah, feedback. Who wants to be a superhero? Yeehaw! Woo! But no, actually, you know what? You know, now that I think about it, yeah, there might not be the whole standing over people, but there is the sad puppy dog eyes. Both of you guys know what I'm talking about. This.
Oh God.
Okay.
Please buy my book.
Yes, that is still
please,
there.
I need to
please
eat my hot dog tonight.
Yes, and it's so hard to pass by these guys and not buy something because they're all like, "We love you. We're your friends." Will you please?
Please, oh please, oh please.
We'll give you a hug if you buy our book. we'll eat tonight if you buy our book. Buy my book. And they hypnotize you, and you buy your and you buy their book. It's very hard not to go and buy a freaking title. But
yeah.
if you exercise restraint,
or if you have no money,
like Raph, then you're able to get by.
It's real hard. I'm standing over there. I'm like, I don't have anything.
I spent about $100.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember what we did for the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund? That was terrific.
What
did you do?
What did we do?
It was us. It was me, Denise. I think you, Serge from the forums, and Chris. We were all standing there, and then we're talking, and then we're right in front of the Indie Spinner Rack table and the CBLDF table, and they're kind of looking over at us. We're having a conversation, and I think, I don't know if it was you or Chris that said it, and we were like, oh, you know, we kind of feel bad. Maybe we should drop some money into their.
Yeah. No. Chris, that was Chris. My girlfriend, Chris. Not Spano, but yeah. Oh.
Whom I told Ian should invite on this episode, but I guess you forgot.
Oh, come on. And yeah, no.
quickly deferring the subject away.
It would have gone off topic way too fast, all right? But yeah, no.
What's Ian like in bed?
Oh, my God. What the fuck, man? Jesus fucking Christ. But
sorry, I could help myself.
Yeah, right. But no, as Guardian and my Chris, both Chris's, I remember actually recommending this. That you know, they look so lonely over there. We should go give them money. And I walk on over and I have two quarters in my hand, and I have two, you know, like little like cans that they're collecting things in. And I put one quarter in one, and I put one quarter in the other, and I go, there you go. And they're like, thank you. And then we walk away.
Yeah, and then of course, 20 minutes later.
Only a quarter.
Oh, come on. I'm out of money bags.
You're a Jew?
Oh!
Zing.
Yeah, I'm a Jew that lives in a cubbyhole. I live in a fucking cubbyhole, man, all right?
New York land is expensive.
I'm not living in some
tax mansion
to
be
right?
Like...
I'm not
using
the Jew card. Oh my God!
Do you guys play Jumanji on that game?
The Jew, you played a Jew card so early.
Oh,
we got like 10 minutes
man.
Into the recording.
How's that tan going, buddy?
It's going good.
Yeah. You enjoying it? Is your skin colored mocha yet?
Not mocha.
Oh.
Okay, all right. No. Just wanted to make sure. All right.
So back to the Clink story.
Yes.
Yeah, so 20 minutes later, I have my two coins, and I'm like, you know, I really want to put more in there, but I really don't have anything else left, and are they going to appreciate that someone from the same group puts the same amount of change in? I thought about it, I said, to hell with it, I'm helping out, you know, whoever, comic book stores and older creators probably getting, you know, with their law stuff, so I go over there. I don't opt to do the one in each, I just do I do the two in one, and then I pull out the rest of my change, and I just sort of dump it in there, sort of. Which was just like, I think, like 2 dimes and a penny. So I contributed an extra 21 cents to save comic book stores and older creators.
Because he's always got to do a little bit better than me. That's,
bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo.
My heart bleeds. Fucking liberal.
Well, what do you expect? I'm a Jew.
Oh, this is the Jew podcast. It's gonna be the Jew card. We're all gonna play the Jew card eventually.
Oh man. Oh, and by the way, here just because we're talking about, you know, like actually like helping people out. Let me help people out here. The Comics Podcast Network has graciously supplied a promo for Comic News Insider to be played on the show, and I want to once again plug the Comics Podcast Network, as always, over at comicspodcasts.com. We're a community, and we share alike. So here is a Comic News Insider promo, and then we'll get back to the actual conversation.
Welcome to Comic News Insider,
brought to you by Dynamic Forces.
This is Michael Emerson from Lost.
Rosario Dawson.
Joss Whedon.
With your host, Joe.
And Jimmy.
This is SpongeBob SquarePants.
John Cashday.
Jim Lee.
Tim Sale.
Hi, heroes. This is Stan Lee, and you're listening to Comic News Insider.
New episodes every Wednesday.
Check us out at comicnewsinsider.com.
And that promo, once again, provided by the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And back to the show, Brent.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you for hijacking it back.
You're quite welcome.
What were some of your favorite creators that you saw, and name the books that they're associated with? Raph, let's start with you.
I shamefully did not see a lot of, did not talk to a lot of the more unknowns, so I'm going to have to go with Brian Wood, DMZ, Supermarket, Uncle Sal, Atomica. I picked up the Atomica sketchbook. It looks really nice, and I should have picked up some of the issues. And
did you ask Uncle Sal about pooing out a window?
Yes, we both had some poo stories to tell each other. It was a lot, and Brian looked on disgusted. It was kind of fun. Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy from the Evil Twin Comics, Action Philosophers, they're going to do another one about the presidents, and they're doing another one about the history of comics coming up. So I'm really looking forward to that stuff.
Ian, any favorites?
Well, there's a couple that I want to mention here from my swag bag. And again, later on I'll go into the full swag bag. But the amazing Cynical Man, otherwise known as Matt Feazell. Okay? It's not usual where you see a creator like Matt Feazell. He actually has something, and I'm sure I'm butchering his last name, but whatever. He actually has something set up where you write the comics. It's just the stick figure. That's it. Cynical Man is a stick figure where you yourself draw him in situations, and then you could very well end up in his next book that he's doing, if it's good enough. And this was just so awesome. I love participation, specifically at cons. And this was a great way for people to participate. So I absolutely loved what he was doing there. So it was a 50-cent comic, too. The Amazing Cynical Man. Cynical Man takes out the trash and other bizarre anecdotes.
So there's a spot in the back of the comic where you could draw your own thing, or was the entire thing drawn by you?
No. Actually, he had Post-it notes set up where you would draw Cynical Man in different situations. And that's for a separate thing, a separate situation. These were ones all done by Matt in the 50-cent comic.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just really cool when they actually set something up like that, because, again, he's just a stick figure.
Yeah, that's cool.
It sounded like he gave you a comic and had a script or something and said, okay, draw a feasible man like this, panel one.
That would be
panel
awesome.
Panel two. And then it listed him as writer-artist.
Well, actually...
And then you get to the credits. They put the credits at the end. I hate when they do that. And you get to writer-artist, and you go, hey, wait a minute, that's not my name.
Well, now that you mention it... Oh, man. Well, there was also one guy who I absolutely adore, okay? And this is a guy who I've had on Geek Speak before. Well, Doug Bratton of Pop Culture Shock Therapy. It's one of my favorite webcomics because it's like the Far Side, only like geek-related. You know, like he'll instead of having, you know, like Far Side type comics, expect stuff like, say, you know, like Superman in silly situations, you know, Mark Simpson... the Peanuts, that sort of stuff. And he just put out his 5 years of Pop Culture Shock Therapy book. So I was really happy to talk to him. And he'll probably actually be on Comic Timing in a couple weeks, hopefully, because we're going to try and work something out, you know, in celebration of the book where he's on to talk about webcomics and perhaps a little more about, you know, the convention scene and whether or not he thought he'd be in this for 5 years, that sort of stuff. But really, really nice guy. And it's great to find a guy who's actually willing to talk both, you know, on the phone and in real life as well as he does, and he certainly is one of those guys. And one other guy I guess I can mention is Jeff Jocks of Questionable Content at questionablecontent.net. Again, another one of my favorite webcomics, and he was there. I got a shirt from him and also got a wonderful sketch of one of the characters that was recently introduced named Hannelore, and she's an OCD. Absolutely OCD. She obsesses over everything, you know, makes her house clean and all that. But she recently got obsessed over drums and since then has been trying to become like the best drummer in the world. And he drew this awesome sketch of her drumming with the caption, "Loud is fun." So I really, really appreciated being able to talk to him again. And this is the third time I've seen him at Mocha, and all three times I've gotten sketches. So he's a really cool guy. And that's pretty, yeah, I mean, those are my favorites right there.
So there is sketching going on at this con?
Yes, there is. Not
like
much.
Like any convention?
Yeah, like any
less?
Convention. Oh, yeah, definitely less. Because most of them are just there, you know, plugging their books. They might sketch in your book if you buy it, but not everybody's going to go and do free sketches, that sort of stuff. But usually they will be free sketches. It's not often where you find somebody who's charging here, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as Raph will attest to, pretty much everybody at New York Comic Con, you had to pay.
Arm
so Brian Boland will never be at Mocha.
No, actually, he was there, only he was drawing the size of a postage stamp.
Mm-hmm.
He actually drew
my... He had a big, like a big magnifying glass so he could see it himself, too.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. No, he drew the Mona Lisa on a postage stamp. It was beautiful.
Wow.
And it was only $212. He cut it down.
Really? He charged me $300.
Oh, you got ripped off.
Ah, bastard. He's going to go after us. He's going to run after us. God damn it. Oh, man. But, yeah, no, definitely less sketching than usual. But, again, people are very generous at this con. So
yes, they are.
If you ask them for something, you'll probably get it.
Raph, what do you think contributes to that generous feeling?
It's I've been saying this, and I'm going to say it again. I think it's just – it's – you know, these guys are doing this out of love for the comics. I mean, I'm sure the other guy, you know, all the guys that work at Marvel and DC and Image and all, they do it for love of comics too. But these guys are doing it really for the love of the comics, because they're not getting paid as nearly as much as they are, and they just kind of go, you know, if you bought 3 books, I'll throw something in for you. I think you know, it's easier for them because it's like, you know, you're supporting me, you're giving me all this attention, you know, you're probably gonna tell your friends about it, and you know, I'm just gonna throw this in for you just because. There's no uptightness about it. It's not like, oh, you have to buy something. Although, you know, they give you the puppy dog eyes, but it's not like, you know, they're throwing it at you. It's all just totally open.
Yeah, and these guys are willing to talk to you, even if you don't buy something.
Oh yeah,
you can still have a conversation with them, and I mean, they'll perfectly understand if you don't have money. You know, you can't buy something. It's as simple as that. And I mean, they also understand that it's a very big, you know, area. And a whole bunch of people are there. So if you don't buy something from them, doesn't mean that they can't talk to you.
And emo kids will buy stuff.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. I mean, that's another thing that I definitely want to touch on here. It's so much more of a hipster situation here than you will ever find at a regular convention.
Guys in canvas cargo pants with unshaven beards and guitars around their necks?
I wouldn't go there. I'd more go... guys dressed entirely in, you know, like plaid shirts and like slick back black hair and, you know, a tear tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sort of thing going on. And they will show up because A, it's their neighborhood. You know, I mean, this is usually the part of New York that's more artsy. So they'll show up because they hear about it, you know, either through the grapevine and, you know, they give it a shot, or they think it's trendy to be there, so they'll show up. And you can tell who's there for the true reasons and who's there because their friends are there. And it's really apparent.
So, Ian, who gave you the best puppy dog eyes?
Out of everybody, I'm actually going to have to go with the... Ooh, this is a toughie, actually. You know what, actually? Give me 1 second. I'm going to look for the most expensive item that I bought, and that will be my answer.
Raph, while he's looking, can you think of anybody or start thinking of who gave you the best puppy dog eyes?
The best ones, as in the ones I could avoid easier, or the ones where they got me to do something?
The best, the most un...
convincing
you
ones,
can't or? Get away from them convincing. You saw into their eyes and you just thought Fox and the Hound where the mother dies or whatever. And you just broke down and cried inside.
See, the thing is, I had a
like
strategy.
A poor little emo boy listening to My Chemical Romance when he's losing his virginity.
Whoa.
I'm not saying I've been there. I'm just saying assuming.
Well, congratulations. You just probably just said something that's going to end up on the next promo.
Okay. Anybody got any answers for best puppy dog guys?
Well, actually, I'm going to go with the Action Philosophers guys because I had no intention of buying any Action Philosopher stuff, and yet I saw them there, and they were looking so helpless. There was nobody around them, and I was just like, I'll take one.
Please.
Yeah. And I mean, I bought Volume 1, which is the first 3 issues of Action Philosophers, because I have Issue 1 somewhere, but it's lost deep in the depths of my collection. I don't think I ever read it. So
try underneath your mattress, left corner, about a foot in. I think it's over there.
Is my webcam that good?
No, Brent lived under your closet.
I turned on the X-ray.
Oh, okay. All right, I gotcha. Yeah, but no, I mean they at the time there was nobody around them. Later on, they were really, really busy, but at the time, there was nobody really around them, so I'm like, all right, fine. So I went and bought their book. So they're definitely up there in Puppy Dogs.
Raph?
Same here. Actually, when they got busy is when I left them. When I got there, they were sort of busy, and we started talking about a lot of things. We started talking about the they're publishing the Indie Spinner Rack anthology, and we started talking about that. We started talking about the CGS anthology and how it's not getting anywhere. You know, he offered to help before, but nobody responded, and you know, we just started talking about what they were doing in the future. And then, so that was a good 20-30 minutes. And then after that, it was that awkward silence, like, we've already talked about everything. You know, what am I going to do? So how's the family? How's your dog? I mean, you know, what am I going to... So I'm standing there, and then a couple of people pass by, and they look over at them. They give them the puppy dog eyes. They don't give me the... But I'm standing there, right? I'm standing there right in front of their table, and I'm not getting anything. And I'm like, I have the first two trades, and... You know, I was gonna get the next set in trades and not in single issues. Oh, what the hell! I'll get the next two issues, and I got the next two issues, and completely drained my wallet.
Well, I got something from this guy. I don't know if you guys have ever really heard of him, David Arroyo or something. I don't know. His name sounds familiar from somewhere. I'm not sure from where. Comics Makers. Okay. Yeah. No, I got Heroes Reborn.
Good book.
Heroes Reborn, best name ever. All right, the minute I saw that, I'm like, all right, fine, that's it. I'm picking it up. It's done. Period. It's $2.99 for it looks like it's kind of a mini comic, but it's still $2.99. But it's full color, so I'm like, all right, what the hell? And plus, it was David Arroyo, so I wanted to support him. So I got that also.
Yeah, did anybody bring their little 10-year-old girl just for puppy dog eye looking?
Ooh, actually. Actually, I'm glad you asked, sir, because at this convention was the youngest comic book artist in the world. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, Raph.
Alexa Kitchen?
Yep, Alexa Kitchen. I think everybody hates Alexa Kitchen because of how damn cute she is.
Oh.
Because she just suckers you in. That's it. And it's funny because I think that there was a, if I remember correctly, the convention confessional guys had something in one of their books about Alexa Kitchen, and they happened to be set up directly across from Alexa Kitchen this time. So Chris asked them, wow, it's kind of a coincidence that you ended up, across from Alexa Kitchen. And he just sort of turns to her and goes, devil child.
Oh, God. Yeah, she. Yeah,
they didn't have a sign that says "Like Alexa Kitchen, try our book."
Yeah, they did.
They did.
It wasn't nearly that bad, but yeah, no, it was like the youngest, you know, comic book artist ever. Even though she's using the same joke that was in Calvin and Hobbes 10 years ago, buy her stuff.
Wait, was she on the seventh floor or on the ground floor? I don't remember.
Ground floor.
There were seven floors to this thing?
No.
There's a seventh floor, and then there's a ground floor, and that's it.
Yeah. There were two floors. One was on the seventh floor, and one on the ground floor.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Why were there six floors difference?
Because this is the Puck building, and other stuff is happening in it?
Yeah, Mocha doesn't own it. They rent it.
So. Yeah. This wasn't actually in the Mocha Museum. Like I said, it was next door.
Right. Okay, understand. Yeah. What I don't understand is, why not? 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 7, not 1, 7.
Well,
that's a long elevator ride. You could go on that elevator thinking you wanted something from the seventh floor, and by the time that elevator ride is done, you hear the little ping, and the doors open.
It was a very quick
you could have
elevator.
Forgotten what you wanted to
very
get.
Quick elevator.
Yeah, and I went on the old style elevator with the operator.
Oh, I forgot to. I completely forgot to do that. I meant to do that. They had an old school elevator with an elevator operator and everybody.
Because elevator is so hard to operate.
This was an old school one that's hand cranked.
Yeah.
Ha-ha. You have been slain.
So it's probably a good thing you didn't go on. You would have killed that guy.
Oh! Well, oh, and also, I have two words. Soy bars.
Oh.
Yes.
Mango soy bars.
That's three words, but that's good enough. on the seventh floor, there was a setup where these dudes, they must have known that, you know, where they were, because again, it's hipster central. So there was just a full counter full of soy bars, free samples of soy bars. I had two of them. They were interesting. They were pretty decent, but that was the only food I had basically all day until dinner. And that got me by.
That's when I bumped into you, actually. We both had the soy bars.
Yes. Yes, actually. Yeah.
Speaking of dinner.
No, wait. I want to ask.
Yeah.
Ian, what did your girlfriend buy? Was she interested in it? A lot of stuff? Anything?
See, what you have to learn here is that my girlfriend has been reading comics a lot longer than I have.
Mm-hmm.
She's 4 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So she got in younger. You know, she remembers more about it than I do from the time that I was first getting into it. So yeah, she bought a lot of stuff also. She had to stop herself at eventually from buying too much. She spent around the same amount of money than I did. And it was mostly on, you know, similar items. Obviously we have different tastes. She'll buy different stuff from different people. But, you know, she's wide open about comics. She goes and buys from anybody.
And still, never on the show.
Not yet. Eventually. Got to talk her into it. Don't want her to kill me.
You could just edit her to make her sound good, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, technically, she's been on the show once. Let's see if anybody remembers. Anybody?
I am the ghost of Bad Comics Past.
Oh, right. New York Comic Con.
Yes. She was on the New York Comic Con wrap-up for about 1 second.
Yes.
Talking about Speedball and his no-nos.
And Pennants.
Oh, God. He had to be brought up again, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
So any last words about
Swagbag?
About Mocha, Raph?
Good time. Wish I could have gone both days.
What'd you buy, Raph?
I bought the two Action Philosophers. I got a copy of this new comic book magazine, and I basically kept my head down and didn't look up the rest of the time. Oh, and Uncle Sal's Atomica sketchbook.
Okay.
I kept my head down the rest of the time. Yes.
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 Until dinner. But again, let me go through. I'm going to go through my full swag bag here, all right? Just to see just how much damn money I spent at this place, all right?
Get out your calculator watches, folks.
Yeah. Okay. I bought Nisha, which is one of four, came out in July 2004, and this is by who's it by here? Robert Gavilia. And I basically bought it for the art because the art was absolutely awesome.
And the price on that one?
The price on that one was, go to the back. Now I remember. These were free. Never mind.
Okay, clear.
No, because the reason why these were free, though, is because this guy had some sort of emergency. So he just happened to just leave, you know, some of his comics there so that people could, you know, at least check out his work.
And he stole them?
No. He left them there for people to take.
You stole them?
No, he left them there for people to take.
No, he had a family emergency, and you took his comics.
The sign said, "Please take comics." Brent Cassino, ladies and gentlemen.
And this is why Brent
stealing
co-host, not co-host, co-host.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. The sign said, "Please take," and people, you know, were leaving messages. You know, thank you very much. I hope things go well, because I would have spent money on this, but he wasn't there to take my money. So.
So, do you want to count these in the total?
Yeah, I'll count them in a total. $225 each. All right.
$225.
Okay. We've got
cash register noises.
Yeah, we've got Action Girl, and this would be a slave labor graphics book.
And it is.
It is Sarah Dyer. Wait, this one was free too. Never mind. Next. No, that's my problem. I'm just looking at shit here. That's why. You know, actually, there was a lot of free stuff, so that could certainly be the reason. Yeah. I'm going to go through the free stuff that I know was free, and then I'm going to start actually, you know, going through stuff that wasn't free. So, hold on one moment. All right. Got that. Okay.
And now look into comic book history.
This I spent money on. Convention Confessional Volume 3. And that's because I had Volumes 1 and 2 already. These are really awesome guys. And the price on this, let's get the price, $450 US.
Not bad.
For one comic, $450 US.
Wait, did you get it from them because they were situated across from Alexa Kitchen?
That and I knew them previously.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We've got, let's see, was this, no, this was just a sneak preview. This is Punk Magazine. It's $4.95 right there. $8 admission. So let's count that in there. $8 admission to get into the place in the first place. So that's in the total. Action Philosophers was $6.95. I spent money on two t-shirts, one of which, you have been turned into a whale. Is this awesome? Yes or no? It's like an old-fashioned RPG shirt with like a pixelized whale on it. It's good times. Yeah, it's definitely good times. That was $10. And then I spent $10 more on, I think they were $10 each, I'm pretty sure they were, on a She Blinded Me with Library Science shirt.
I remember that one. That was good.
And that was questionable content, so I had to spend money on Jeff Jocks because he's the man. Again, Heroes Reborn was $2.99. A Pirate's Life for Me, a compilation of all things pirate. Let's see, I think this one was just 50 cents. We've got Satisfactory Comics, number 7, which is by Alex Cates and Mike Wenth. $2. So let's put $2 on that. There was the Funny But Deadly 5 Years of Pop Culture Shock Therapy. $17.95 on Pop Culture Shock Therapy. That is where I will stop. Because I'm sure I'm boring everybody to tears.
You are at $72.34.
Yeah. So I spent at least $72.34. I'm sure there's probably other stuff there that I didn't, you know, actually take out.
Corn dogs, sodas, lunch.
Actually, yeah, lunch was about $6.95 at Subway.
Times two?
No, just times one.
You didn't buy your girlfriend lunch?
Chris paid for herself.
You cheapo.
Oh, come on.
Uh-oh. Are we going to see another Jew card thrown?
All right. 79.29.
All right. And from there, that's where we'll end it because dinner is a different topic. So, again.
It's been discussed already.
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about dinner.
So what about dinner, guys? Where'd you go? Who'd you meet?
Ooh, yes. All right, Raf, you're telling most of this story.
Yes. Seeing as how I live in Chinatown, I had no idea. Okay, let me set it up. I go on the forum about a day or two before the dinner, and I find out there's a dinner going on, right? Just to see before hanging out. And I look at it's Golden Unicorn. And I happen to tell one of my friends I'm going to go to Unicorn. He gives me this funny look, and I'm like, I don't remember where it is. But I think But he's like, it's not that great. And so keeping that in mind, I'm like, you know, it's probably not that bad, you know, because all of us in Chinatown, we hate the Chinatown food, so that's just, you know. But anyway, so we're all at Mocha, we all meet up outside, we all start walking down there. It's just me, Ian, the CGS guys, a couple others, and then out of nowhere, Spano comes with his huge IS army.
I swear to God, this man is Batman.
Yes.
All right, he just slinks in the shadows. He is the knight, because all of a sudden he was there. No idea where the hell he came from, but he was there.
With 80 people.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're walking down the street, and then we walk into Chinatown with this huge group, and it's sort of like touristy, but anyway, we get to the restaurant. I remembered where it was, and I remembered exactly what it is. It's a banquet place. It's where mostly Chinese people go there to have wedding banquets, birthday, and maybe not birthdays, like huge events. We go there for huge events. The food there is served in the middle of the table where you all just kind of grab a piece. It's not individual orders. And I had forgotten all this before we actually got in there and actually gotten the food. So we go in there. There's so many of us. There's so many people. The entire Peter, Jamie D, and Brian from CGS with Clara and Tasha. Carlito from Indie Spinner Max there, Mr. Phil's there, Spano's there, a whole...
The Geeks Unite guys.
Half of Geeks Unite, a third of Geeks Unite.
I meant to say the Geek Knights guys, but yeah.
Oh, they were there? I didn't see them.
Yeah, man, no, all six of them were there. All members of the front row, were there. Yeah.
I saw them, but I didn't say hi or anything.
Didn't you realize that I was off in the corner talking to people at one point?
Yeah, I just didn't realize
that
who they were.
Yeah, that was Rim and Scott.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Raymond Apreche from the forums.
Yes. So yeah. I finally got to meet him without actually meeting him.
Yeah. And then the Forbidden Planet guys came, but that's later on in the story.
Okay, so yeah. But anyway, so it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, about 4 or 5 tables of comic book geeks. And, you know, we're laughing and we're talking. And I look up after like 10, 20 minutes and I realize Ian, like I'm at the table with Ian and Chris and their friend, gee, I always forget her name.
Jenny,
right? Jenny. Me, Ian, and the rest of us are there, and we're the last table to order. So the waitress comes over, and she starts taking orders, and I'm the last one to order, and so I decide to be slick and order my food in Chinese. You know, maybe that'll get me a little quicker service. And she's like, oh, okay. And then Ian forgets his beer, and I ordered a beer for him in Chinese. And so, you know, another 10, 20 minutes, we're all chatting, we're all having fun. The one of the other tables gets food first. Guess who's the second table to get food? Ours. Two Asians at the table. Magic.
Yeah. And mind you, we ordered, like, appetizers and, you know, like, we ordered, like, dumplings and all this. And all of that came before...
Before Brian Deemer got a single morsel of food.
Yeah. It was painful. It was very painful to watch.
At first, I joked around with them. I was like, yeah, this is what you get when you don't have an Asian at your table. Next time you sit with me at the table. You know, we had a good laugh about it. And then I realized as I'm finishing up my food and I'm making my rounds and I look over and Claire is crying. And Brian looks very upset. And he hasn't gotten his food. And Joe kind of pulls me over and goes, you know, why don't you talk to him, you know. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, I asked the guy. And he's like, oh, you know, it's almost done, it's almost done. And actually, I think I went to the bathroom after that. I think like a few seconds, as soon as I walk out, I think they were bringing Brian's food. So maybe I worked my magic there. But Brian was very unhappy with his food.
So unhappy that you should listen to the Comic Geek Speak Mocha report to hear exactly how unhappy he was. Because that story, ooh, you could feel
hilarious.
You could feel the emotion in his heart as he tells
I'm still
the tale.
Apologizing to him. Yeah, I've been sending him sorry emails to some for all my people because you know, Brian Deemer could devastate a city with a wink of his eye.
Yes, when Jack Bauer saw Brian Deemer walking down the hall, he stopped at 23.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
All right, but we all know.
Yeah.
It's still my show.
Oh yeah! Wait! Hold on! Wanted to at least mention one more thing about the dinner. All right, then we can go on. All right.
Well, I thought you guys were done.
No, but we're not because we didn't talk about the Forbidden Planet guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Go!
All right. So these guys show up about near the end of it from St. Mark's Comics, both from Brooklyn and from the New York branch. And St. Mark's Comics is known for being, you know, kind of rude and cramped and not the best place in the world. But these guys were awesome. You know, it was really fun hanging out with them. I would probably go to St. Mark's Comics again just to hang out with these guys. And that it takes a lot for me to say that, to go to a place just because of the people that work there. But these dudes were freaking awesome. They were hilarious. And we were just talking it up the entire time, friendly with everybody. So really happy that they were there.
Yeah, Dave Ryan. They were friends with Dave Ryan, actually, who showed up. Dave Ryan, the artist on War of the Independence. You know what's funny? They always have this sign in the window in the Manhattan branch where it's they're looking for people to work. And as soon as I got out of high school, I went to apply, and I kind of questioned their hiring practices because like I did that for like 3-4 months, and then. Each time I saw a new person, and it was always like some like 18, 19, 17 year old girl who was dressed kind of gothy, and I'm like, are you questionable employment tactics? You know, just a little, just a little.
You have cleavage. You a winner.
You guys hire a little too many girls. You know, don't want the Asian. You gotta not hire the Asian. Yeah, you keep working on that. Yeah.
I love that voice.
Yeah, the Stewie novel voice.
Yeah,
love.
Oh man!
All right. Let's move on here.
Yeah, you can have your quote unquote show back, Brent.
You goddamn right. You said
it's
hand it over
casino.
To me.
Uh-huh. All right, come on.
I'm the goddamn casino.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed the modulation on Penance and
I did.
Okay, yeah.
That was great.
And of course,
it was nice. Just that one time you didn't overdo it.
Yeah. Wait. What was... Novocaine.
Yeah. I thought you were going to modulate that one, but you didn't.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So, we all remember the DC teaser image DC released... How long ago was it? December, maybe?
Yeah.
We discussed it on the show, I think, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Well, this week in the DC Nation pages, they revealed what everything was on that... page. So you want to go over that first?
Yeah, no, we can touch on that, definitely.
Okay. So, spoilers and speculation abound. If you don't want any of that, I suggest you turn it off now.
Okay, hold on. Let me open a DC comic, because I just got my comics like 6 hours ago.
Make sure you pick an on-time comic.
Nightwing.
All right, I have my comics, so I'm ready to roll.
All right. So let's go. DC Nation, week 68. I didn't know this has been around that long. So this is Dan Didio just giving away stuff. So here we go. Which is the big Barda and Mr. Miracle feet standing on the ground. This is the countdown image where it says, "So begins the end," I think.
Yeah.
And you have all the heroes in front of the Statue of Liberty against the New York. A, it says, "Anyone standing on barren ground is doomed." In this case, it spells death of the new gods. And basically, the only people standing on the ground were Big Barda and Mr. Miracle. And there were some other dead characters. I think Blue Beetle was there, Maxwell Lord. Some other people were on the ground, meaning that they're dead. Question, yeah. So they're already dead, showing you that that was the dead thing.
Yeah. Makes sense.
B was Kyle Rayner in his Ion costume, but his hand was glowing a strange yellow, which I don't remember us going over.
Well, that's because they oftentimes draw a Green Lantern ring with a little bit of a yellowish tint to it.
Yeah.
So I just kind of thought he was wearing a Green Lantern ring.
But when they zoom in on the picture, you can see there's like a spark there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's
his. We did talk about that. We did talk about that. Cause
we did?
Wait, he doesn't need a ring. He's Ion, right?
Well, no. We talked about that he had a ring.
I think we thought that was a Green Lantern ring.
We just kind of threw it away.
Yeah. It wasn't that important to us, but we did talk about it for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
In actuality, it's a Sinestro ring symbolizing how he got corrupted in the Sinestro Corps War.
Yeah.
That's special. Go pick that up. I don't really want to give that away.
I'm really pissed about that, but I'll save that for another day.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Anyway, C, Jason Todd becomes Red Robin, driving a wedge in the Challengers from Beyond, which is basically Kyle Rayner, Donna Troy, and Jason Todd.
Yeah.
This I kind of wish they didn't give away.
Especially since it hasn't happened yet.
I know he said it like, you know, or like convention season at New York or whatever, that was Jason Todd, but I wish they wouldn't have said it.
Yeah, well,
here.
Well, plus also, I mean, when he
could have just said Red Robin drives a wedge between the Challengers of the Beyond.
When he said it at New York Comic Con, we didn't know whether or not he accidentally said it or not. So, right. I mean, he could have very well just played it until it actually happened, and it would have been fine. Giving it away here is a bit too soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much it's going to last because he's supposed to go find Ray Palmer. D.
Okay.
Green Arrow and Black Canary. It says Green Arrow struggles to win the love of Black Canary.
And succeeds.
Yeah.
Yay.
You guys still preview, right?
Yes.
The wedding stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of a given that they're they're getting married. Yeah.
But how long is it gonna last?
5 years. Five minutes.
Somebody gets tired and says it ruined Green Arrow's character.
Yeah, and then they'll kill him and they'll bring out a son. But then they'll just bring him back for the hell of it. Oh, wait.
And then they're going to have a special event where it crosses over into his three titles. And then they cancel his title and make his title thrice monthly.
Oh,
God.
What a tangled web that is.
Yeah, I know. And then
right, they'll... So E, yeah. Batman in symbolic garb wields the sword which harkens the return of a deadly foe.
Old enemy, got to be Ra's al Ghul. Not Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul,
not Ra's al Ghul.
My only problem with that, I just read Death and the Maidens, where they killed him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good story, so yeah, I'm sad that he's back.
And yet, you knew it was coming. Come on, man. I mean,
you knew it was coming, yeah.
He's Ra's al Ghul. He's Ra's al Ghul. He's one of the best Batman villains out there. He ain't staying dead.
Mm-hmm. You mean comic book characters don't stay dead?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of comic book characters not staying dead, F, dressed in Barry's costume, Bart showed that he had one foot in the grave. Basically, he was like kind of straddling the Statue of Liberty there.
Yeah.
How we knew that was Bart, I think it was the brown eyes if you looked very closely on the like internet image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has Barry's belt on, which I thought symbolized when he came back in Infinite Crisis that it was Barry's costume.
Well,
wasn't it Wally's?
No, he came back in Barry's costume.
Oh, he came back
in Infinite Crisis.
Yeah, okay. He did. And then he wore Wally's costume.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, or the artist drew it as Wally's.
Well, I didn't,
especially in his own series. They said it's an exact replica of Barry's costume, but it looks exactly like Wally's on the barrel.
Yeah, that's what threw me off.
Yeah. Okay. I wish the Flashes would just decide on a fucking design. Or if you're going to change the costume for a different person, at least change something. The belt is not a change. I'm sorry.
I know.
Batman changes utility belts like Juan changes his boxer shorts. You know, it doesn't mean it's a different Flash.
Hi, Juan.
It's not a different one.
Hi, Juan. How are you? What's up? What's going on?
What's up, Juan?
Yeah. My problem with this is that I didn't think it was symbolism. I thought it was Barry.
Agreed. Because you don't see his eyes very clearly in the page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Wally's a green. I know that much.
Yeah.
So.
All right. The Legionnaire.
Karate Kid?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here, Brent.
Basically means Karate Kid's gonna die.
Yeah, definitely. And now,
in the past.
Now you've got to lower yourself, Brent.
Oh, sorry. I'll back up.
It's okay.
Better?
All right. All right. Yeah. Okay.
So H is the Atom lost, struggles to survive. We don't know where he is. All we know is that he's making a return to...
Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Yeah, he's in Cleveland.
Drew
Steaming?
No, he's in Cleveland, hanging out. Going to Cleveland Indians games because, you know, nice place to stay conspicuous.
All right. The shield behind Wonder Woman supposedly marked Hippolyta's return. I don't know how we would have gotten that one.
Yeah, I don't think we did either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
We kind of threw in Kingdom Come and stuff like that.
And Hippolyta's return, lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still don't get why she's back.
Or why she's so, you know, evil.
Angry and stuff, yeah.
Superman staring down Wonder Woman's shirt. They're apparently discussing parent issues.
Yes. My mom had breasts.
Well, he's supposedly crying into her chest, so.
My guess? Chris dies.
No, Jonathan's supposed to die. In JLA number zero?
No.
No, that's not going to happen for a while.
Are you sure?
I really don't think that's actually
They just killed him in All-Star. They killed him in Smallville. Does he have to die in every single continuity?
He's not dying here.
He's been alive ever since they redid Superman.
Yes.
So you think Chris is going to die?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, okay. I wouldn't be surprised if Chris dies, but...
Because he's in the Adventures of Superman, or is it Plain Superman now?
Yeah, he's in Plain Superman. They mentioned him. They didn't show him.
Okay.
But he is mentioned.
Look, all I'm saying is that... I like him better with two parents.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. Same here. I'm just saying, like, they've already alluded to, because they've already alluded to Jonathan dying in JLA number zero, so I'm just assuming this is the natural conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can see your point. I mean, Chris doesn't really belong either.
Yeah.
So he's the easiest one to get rid of. If I had to choose between Jonathan and Chris, I'd choose Chris.
Yeah. I would too. Because I really don't like him with Chris at all. So, that's just me.
Well, seeing as how we haven't finished the story yet, we won't till December.
That's kind of the reason why I really just want him gone.
All right.
Yeah.
Next thing, K, a boom tube generator. I didn't know boom tube generators look like that.
And they don't. I think that's just sort of some sort of Kirby device. You know.
And they decided it was a boom tube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it's definitely a fourth world device.
Apparently, boom tubes look like that now. For future reference.
Okay.
L, the shadow of evil falls on Mary Marvel, which we've seen.
Yes. That much was pretty much a given there. You know, most of the things that were in here, you know, worked themselves out nicely. But, like I said, the only ones that we still don't know about are A and C. They should have stayed hidden.
Yeah. Well, also G, sort of, but not really.
No, H. Well,
H also.
Yeah.
Because we don't know where the hell he is.
Yeah. I mean, like, some of this stuff we didn't need to know answers to yet. And DiDio's good at that, answering things before he should. I mean, Brent, are you with us here or what?
Yeah.
He is John Mayo's arch enemy, Dan DiDio.
Spoiler man.
Oh, God.
All right. The new image is... The last one was drawn by Phil Jimenez. The new one is Ethan Van Sciver. Mm-hmm. Pretty much squashed my hopes of or made me happy that that doesn't mean Phil Jimenez is doing the next big event.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be Ethan Van Sciver.
Neither of them, and they're just drawing.
Yeah.
That could be it, too.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Although, all right, Ian, let's just get started first, because I got one little gripe here about Martian Manhunter. Okay. But let's just get started in an image.
Well,
So this new theme is the villains of the DC Universe. The main centerpiece, instead of Statue of Liberty, is Darkseid. Darkseid's head as a statue.
Yeah.
And New York is burning in the background.
And is it just me, or does that look like the anti-monitor stuff?
Where?
The clouds.
The background?
Yeah, those look like the exact same clouds that we saw in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely anti-monitory.
Yeah.
So we are going to go from the top left corner down, and then we're going to go over to the right.
Yes, sir.
Starting that way. Martian Manhunter, Joker, and Catwoman.
Okay. Martian Manhunter, my gripe about him being there is he's the Martian Manhunter. I really do not want to see him become some sort of actual Martian Manhunter. I like him better as a good guy. I don't like this dark path that they're taking for him, because he seemed to have always had this glow about him that I liked, and they seem to be taking that away ever so slightly day by day. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. He doesn't need it. He's a hero.
He's not in the JLA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's on the JLA. He's a hero. He should stay a freaking hero. Not everybody needs to be dark.
And also, he looks horrible. He looks kind of fat in that drawing.
Well,
no offense to EVS, but
yeah.
That's not one of his best works.
I like it. At first, I thought his cape was too short, and then I realized it's blowing in the wind behind Catwoman.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That was kind of off-putting. Anyway. No, I think he's drawn okay. I mean, if you look at the... he's a little bulkier than he was in the Superman-Batman stuff that Ethan did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I like this. I don't like him looking too big.
Is he bulkier because he's evil? Is that it? Like, I mean, is he on steroids now?
He looks like Bane. He's like Bane big.
Roid Rage. There you go, Roid Rage.
Yes. Anyway.
Choke a bitch.
Yes, right. he's gonna choke Catwoman.
He's Martian Manhunter, gonna have to choke a bitch.
We got the Joker whispering to Catwoman, maybe telling her a joke. And he's also got a little buzzer in his hand.
And she's about to pull out her bullwhip.
Okay. Yeah. Question, is this Selina Kyle or Holly Robinson?
Holly.
We've seen Holly in Countdown now.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of the blue, even though they didn't explain who the hell she was.
Yeah.
I'm not reading Catwoman, are you guys?
I'm not reading it.
No, but I know who she is. I think she's from a year one, the Frank Miller year one. She's basically a friend of Selina Kyle's back from her prostitute days. And Selina's kind of taking her in. And while Selina was pregnant, Holly became the new Catwoman.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. And then after the 1 year later thing where Catwoman's charged with murder, she gets in trouble, Selina gets her a new life with the help of Bruce, yada yada yada. I'm not 100% sure on that. That's what I heard, though.
Okay, and the Joker is back. Obviously, he's not going to be sitting this one out like he did Infinite Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because again, you do not leave the Joker out of things and get away with it.
Yeah, Alex Luthor paid for it, big time.
Yep. So he's definitely a big part in this.
All right. Going down, we got Granny Goodness, Black Mary, Mary Marvel, and Eclipso, which we have yet to be seen in Countdown.
Well, whenever I see Granny Goodness, I can't help but imagine her voice from the Superman animated series in Justice League Unlimited.
Granny says, be a good boy.
But I like the fact that she's in this, or he, or whatever the fuck she is. Because she's a good character, but I'm curious as to what the hell she's going to have to do with Mary. I mean, does that mean that she's going to be a Fury? I don't know. I mean, it's difficult to actually understand, you know, why Mary would be going down a path like this. Because, I mean, is she really that scorned by the Marvel family for not giving her back her powers?
Well,
she
also...
pretty happy here. Mary looks pretty happy.
Yeah, look at Jean Lauren, though. She's, like, licking her lips at Mary Marvel. Like, she's really...
Jean Lauren has joined the other side.
Seduction
you know
and
I mean.
The Innocent.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Eclipso is working with Darkseid and Granny.
Certainly possible. Yeah. I'm not going to say yes or no, but it's certainly possible.
All right, so we got those three. Going down, we have Hippolyta's shield again, only assuming.
Yep.
Since she's a villain now. We got a broken green arrow dashed upon the rocks there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything what that means? His heart's getting broken. Black Canary says no at the end of the wedding special.
I doubt that. I doubt she's going to say no.
Maybe the death of Connor?
No.
Connor Hawk?
No. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Don't you even speculate it?
Ooh, Speedy.
Or anger. Green Arrow gets angry and breaks an arrow across his knee.
He quits? Maybe he quits being Green Arrow?
He could.
I think
to raise Sin.
Because I know they're not killing Ollie. They're not killing Ollie.
No, they can't because they just killed him. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want them to kill Connor. I mean, I'm with you on that. I don't want...
Yeah.
They've killed enough Connors, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, what about not killing, but, like, paralyzing or injuring gravely?
I doubt
they cut
it.
Off... They cut off his fingers.
I highly doubt it. I think
what better way to cripple an archer than to cut off his fingers?
What better way to retire a superhero than getting him married?
Yeah. The end of Green Arrow as a hero.
Yeah.
And he becomes the, like the new Alfred or something. I don't know.
Well, no. You don't even need him as that. I mean, because you have Red Arrow. I mean, you could just have Green Arrow as a supporting character in Black Canary's book.
Or he can be Mr. Mom with What's-Her-Face, the little girl that Black Canary saved?
Yeah, Sin, right?
Sin, yes.
Yeah.
What
is right that? Next to Eclipso's feet, we have the Black Racer's skis.
Yes.
And what's that box next to it?
I don't know.
Is that related to what's
it's got a hole in it?
Well, yeah, it definitely has a hole in it. But is that related to the journey in space? Whatever his name is, the hero that just came back.
Animal Man?
The one with the sun symbol on his chest?
Captain Comet.
Captain Comet, there you go. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I was trying to make a dick-in-the-box reference. I don't know. You know, cut a hole in the box.
The dick-in-the-box, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So Black Racer skis are broken. Again, death of a new god.
Yeah.
Death of a new god, definitely.
Also, I think next to that box, it looks like a wand. Or is that just the other end of the Black Racer's ski
pole? I think that might be the other end of the ski.
See, if it's a wand, maybe it's like the Weather Wizard's wand.
Ooh, that could be.
Because we saw that broken in The Flash recently.
That could certainly be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right below that wand-looking thingy, the Crime Bible.
Yeah, that's the Crime Bible, right? Definitely?
For sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the Crime Bible certainly looks like it could be associated with the blood on Lex Luthor's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And Lex Luthor looks like he got kicked in the junk.
Yeah. Lex Luthor looks like he's been watching Superman too much.
Yeah, and he has... I've said this before we recorded. He has no crotch.
No, none whatsoever.
Yeah.
He lost it in a kryptonite accident.
What can he say? He's a grower, not a shower.
No, but right next to him is Piper pointing at him, and he goes, "Look, he has no junk." And Penguin's like, "Whoa, what do you want me to do about that?"
What does Lex Luthor have to cry about? Everybody else here looks happy.
We'll get into it later. But maybe because the world's ending and he won't have anything to take over.
Well, it could be that, or it could be the fact that he's officially lost everything.
You know, yeah,
he's broke. You know, he no longer has any standing in the population at all. Nobody will listen to him, not even the villains of the world. After what happened in Villains United, he is absolutely a broken man. So something's got to happen where he's going to try and take out Superman. It's going to fail, and he's just going to crack.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's it. That's definitely what I think it is.
Okay. Let's go up and then over to the right with the Supermans. We got Kingdom Come Superman, Cyborg Superman, with his new parallax symbol, which I think is cool. It's in the same S-Shield design.
Yeah.
And also Black Suit Superman.
Mullet Man.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm gonna throw out something here that's been mentioned on the forums and a couple other places. Black Suit Superman is Earth 8 Superman.
What's Earth 8?
Yeah.
Earth 8 was what a lot of our new superheroes were going to be. In the original pre-crisis.
Oh, you mean like Kyle, Donna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That Earth. Okay.
I'm going to guarantee that is Connor in Earth 8. It's a it's a full grown Superman, just like the Black Zero that was introduced in Superboy.
Yeah,
the same sort of idea there. This is going to be a Superboy that grew up and was turned against by his society, and he ends up teaming up with Cyborg Superman.
Well, wait a minute. But why would Lex be so unhappy then? Because he, I mean, Connor was his son.
Because Connor's going to do it without Lex.
Not
okay.
On this
I see
planet.
What you mean.
Yeah,
I see what you mean.
Not on this Earth, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, well, again, this is not his son. This is a different Connor. It could be a completely different father, for all we know.
Right.
Yeah, but it is certainly possible, though, that Connor, you know, just scoffs at Lex and says you're a joke and just, you know, turns away.
Okay, so wait, did you guys notice the glowing palm or glowing hand of Kingdom Come Superman?
It's got an Adam
symbol.
Yes,
if you look at the high res, it's the Adam symbol.
Now, I can't see the high res. Where's the high res?
The high res
is
on a
Newsarama.
Yeah, it's on a different post in Newsarama. But
news.
Now, is that Captain Adam or is that the Adam?
I think it's the Adam, because Captain Adam, it would be filled in with red.
Okay.
Captain Adam is no more. He's now Monarch, remember?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay.
If you look closely, that Kingdom Come Superman's eyes are red.
Ooh.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me find it.
Okay, now, I've got two ideas here. Either he's crushing Adam in his hand right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or he's keeping him there.
And also, is that Kingdom Come Superman? Or is that Earth 2 Superman?
I think it's Kingdom Come. They've said in interviews and shit that the next big JSA storyline is going to be called Thy Kingdom Come.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, it was previewed in that JSA number one that we did like four times.
Yeah. yeah.
And also at the end of 5252, Kingdom Come is like Earth 51 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
It's an Earth now.
Yeah.
So that is a parallel Earth Superman. He's no longer a vision of the future.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'm all for that. But like I said, it is certainly a possibility that could be because you remember Rising from the Grave was another one of the shots in JSA of, I guess, what could very well be Earth 2 Kal-El.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that could be either one because both of them had the gray sideburns.
Right.
Yeah.
Cyborg Superman looking very happy.
Yeah, I don't think we really need to explain that too much.
Do you think the parallax core is behind this fire stuff?
No.
Did they come into Earth?
No, but I think one of their members is.
Okay.
Anti-Monitor.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, the background says it all, right? Actually, didn't they say something about Sinestro coming to in the DC Nation comp? Didn't they say Sinestro was coming to Earth?
And I think
that's
so.
Why the Statue of Liberty head was on the floor or something.
I think they might have, if I remember correctly. Yeah, you know what? Actually, it was in Newsarama.
Yeah. Oh, it was in Newsarama. Okay.
Yeah, Newsarama. The Newsarama explanation, I think, actually had that in there. Yeah.
Okay. So there we go.
Sinestro Corps. I thought it was interesting how they said that the new Earth, our Earth, is the center of the 52 universes.
Yeah.
And that if it collapses, the entire multiverse collapses.
It makes sense because the multiverse started from our Earth.
Exactly.
So wait.
That kind of explains why the Guardians have four Green Lanterns there.
Yeah, that makes
of
a lot more
one.
Sense.
Mm. Yeah.
But wait, I never actually got this straight. So there's New Earth, right?
Yeah.
Is there an Earth 1?
We don't know.
Because that's starting to bother me a little.
We don't know. It's certainly possible. We never found that out. Which actually, when you think about it, could explain where Bart went. In the Flash.
Yeah.
He could very well have gone to Earth 1. That's why that's why Barry was there. There could be another Earth out there. We don't know. Because they never truly explain whether or not the new Earth is part of the 52 worlds or whether or not it's its own entity. So we have to find out.
Well, they said it's new Earth and then Earth's and then up to Earth 51. I don't remember them saying 1 to 51.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what the hell is... So then is new... See, this is my thing. Is new Earth... Is Earth 1 post-crisis Earth, or is it pre-crisis Earth 1?
We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's really starting to bother me.
Yeah.
Wow, that could break open a lot of things right there.
Oh, you're damn right it could, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we move down the image.
All right, yep. Moving down, we got the Trickster, Desaad, and the Penguin.
What is Trickster holding?
Trickster is holding the Pied Piper's pipe.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Here's my question, though. Currently in the countdown and stuff, that's the old Trickster, right?
Yes.
He wears a hood and a big cape.
Yes.
Yeah. But this guy is dressed in the young Trickster's uniform.
Ooh.
And he looks
with
younger.
The button-down shirt and the iPod.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily look younger. He could be the same age.
Okay.
So, I'm confused.
It's possible that Ethan might have just fucked up.
Or he does say, I'm really hot from running in this cape. I'm going to wear my button down.
But he also has long hair. He has long
hair. He moves to Florida. He moves to Florida.
Yeah, actually, or, again, for all we know, this could be another Earth's. This could be Kingdom Come Trickster.
Hmm.
Mm.
Because it's possible that there, the young Trickster is already all grown up.
Yeah.
Okay. Desaad looking way too happy for Darkseid's statue to be on the ground.
I don't even need to get into Desaad. This guy is a creepy motherfucker.
Yeah, he's looking at Trickster, so I'm thinking they have a plan
looking at Lex.
Well, he also happens to be wearing like the exact same cape that Death wears in Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think he's looking at Lex because the Penguin's pointing at Lex.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be it.
I think
or he's
so
just looking off into space.
He's looking at Lex like, I took his package.
Well, I think the Penguin rises to power through his new legitimate means from the Penguin Lounge.
Yes.
Merchandising and all that shit.
Yeah.
Okay, but wait a minute.
Detective Comics.
Look at this feet.
So I'm thinking that the Penguin
is
now the new criminal under... Lord or whatever.
This is important.
He takes Lex's spot.
Look at both of their feet.
Right. One standing on Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman's sword.
Yeah.
Well, no one
isn't from the 52 cover.
But Penguin is standing over Batman at Batman's cape and cowl.
That makes sense because he's a Batman villain.
But nobody's really stepping over Wonder Woman's sword. I mean, they're
it's
around
just sort
it.
Of there.
And Superman.
Why is Trickster standing on Superman's cape?
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Well, it's certainly possible that Trickster could have something in his arsenal that could really mess up Superman, like, say, Kryptonite. Because Trickster does, he plays tricks, just like the Prankster.
Yeah. You know,
Prankster's taken down Superman before. Trickster's the same bag of tricks.
Yep.
But they've never crossed over yet. He's a Flash rogue. I mean, what's going to bring him to Metropolis?
We don't know. We don't know, and I guess that's what we'll find out on Countdown.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot the Kirby boom tube thing.
Yeah, I think that's actually, it's a microscope. I don't know. I mean, at this point, we're not going to know. I don't want to know. I don't know whether or not it's a boom tube or something like that. To me right now.
Boom tube generator?
It could be something you get on the back of comic books for 99 cents. I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, let's just find out eventually. That's what I'm for. Woot.
Okay.
All right.
And the tagline, and evil shall inherit the earth.
I think evil's going to inherit the earth.
Well, isn't that society still out there?
Plural. Yeah, but we haven't really seen them.
Yeah, no, you haven't. And also, Darkseid is pretty damn evil also.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough that the villains are still united. You can all, once you throw in the evil new gods, Desaad, Darkseid... And you've got Mary Marvel corrupted by Eclipse. So that's some heavy... Those are some big guns there.
Yep.
Those are some huge guns. I mean, Darkseid could... You know, him and Superman can fight toe-to-toe, and then the rest of them, they're in trouble.
Guns. Lots and lots of guns. All right. Anything else about the Countdown image, guys?
It's awesome, and Ethan Van Sciver is my hero.
Yes.
Ethan Van Sciver rules.
Yay. All right. Well, host, what do we got to talk about next?
Next up, co-host, non-co-host, co-host, you suck. We got everybody's favorite game show, Who's a Fucking Skrull?
Yay! And, of course, this is pertaining to New Avengers.
Marvel Comics.
And Marvel Comics, and what the fuck is going on in Marvel Comics.
Yeah. Retcon!
So, everything you know... is wrong.
Uncle Ben is a fucking Skrull, as far as I'm concerned, alright?
Did you know that the Scarlet Spider was a Skrull? Yeah. Doesn't that explain a lot?
Yeah, it does.
No, it
explains
doesn't.
Why it sucked.
Oh, I was a Scarlet Spiders fan. All right. But anyway, yeah.
So, what do you think about the revelation that there are Skrulls hiding?
I think it's awesome /cop out because if they play it right, that's fine. But I swear to frickin' God, if they blame the Civil War on the goddamn Skrulls,
they've already said Civil War was not caused by Skrulls.
And how many times have they said something and then
House
done the
of
opposite?
M, Civil War are not involved.
Well, good.
With this.
Good.
Well, no, House of M can't be because Scarlet Witch can't. You know.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping and praying. That's actually true, and that this is just something different. When it comes to the Skrulls, though, they got to be used right, and this is the way to use them. Because for all we know, Elektra's been a Skrull since she came back.
The first time,
which means Frank Miller might come back to Marvel Comics.
Hmm.
Because that was an unspoken agreement with Frank Miller that. He would get to bring back Elektra, and then they didn't involve him in bringing back Elektra, and he got very annoyed. And
so now he's just gonna come back and bastardize the entire Marvel universe.
Yeah, they'll call it All Star Daredevil and Elektra.
Mm. I love being the goddamn Daredevil.
And Elektra won't show up until the 7th issue.
Are you stupid? Are you a moron? I'm the goddamn Daredevil. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh come on! It was funny, and you know it, bastards. You suck. Okay.
All right, so New Avengers 31, we found out Elektra was a Skrull, and Jessica Jones' baby has green eyes.
Yes.
Why would you impersonate a baby? Yes, and she doesn't breastfeed. I think Jessica Jones is a Skrull.
I think that Jessica Jones is a Skrull.
I mean, come on. Doesn't breastfeeding make your boobs bigger? She was small-titted before. I think Luke Cage may be an ass pan, but he would appreciate some bigger boobs. I think his wife would stop breastfeeding.
I think
Let's be serious now. Well, you want to keep a superhero? Get some bigger boobs. I don't know.
Hear me out here, okay? For Jessica Jones and the baby, shouldn't they be in Canada right now?
Yeah.
That too.
How the hell did they get back?
I don't think they ever got there, or for all we know, they're still in Canada.
Do you think both of them are Skrulls, or just Jessica Jones?
If it was an abduction, ooh, then it could just be Jessica.
Ooh, what if Skrulls have the baby, and they're blackmailing Jessica?
That could be.
That's why she doesn't breastfeed the baby, and that's why we don't see her eyes as green, and the baby's eyes are green.
That could definitely be.
The baby is the Skrull,
and it's a spy, and it's like spying on what's going on with the New Avengers.
And the Skrulls have.
If you're a Skrull, what kind of an idiot are you that you have to be the baby?
No. Because, think about it, though. That's the best way to infiltrate.
Yeah.
Nobody is expecting the baby.
Exactly.
So in the movie version, they're going to get Damon Wayans, and they're going to put his face on a baby's body.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Well, no, because if you take a hero, you start asking questions about you start interrogating them. If they make a mistake, like, oh, Peter, how about that time we first met? Oh, I remember that Iron Fist. It was blah 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 blah. Oh, okay, fine. You got the hero suspicious, but then if it's not actually them, you know, it'll like what if they beat the crap out of, say, I don't know, Spider-Man because they think he's a Skrull and it turns out to be the baby. See, the baby's the most inconspicuous one.
Hey, well, how about this? What about Spider-Woman?
Yeah, that's kind of... it's like, gee, the one that's like backstabbed everybody at least 6 times? Come on.
It would make perfect sense, though.
It would make perfect sense, but so obvious. It's too obvious
for
me.
How long? I mean, she's been talking to Nick Fury since 18 or something? Were those Spider-Woman Nick Fury issues?
Yeah, but she also disappeared a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's certainly possible that one of those times she disappeared, she came back a Skrull.
I think Nick Fury is a Skrull, because the real Nick Fury wouldn't have sat on his ass during Civil War.
No.
I don't care whether he invaded a country.
No, I'm not for that. I'm not for that at all. I think they could go that route, but they're not going to go that route. Because
maybe. Is this why he's still in hiding? Because he knows there's a Skrull on the...
Maybe.
That could be.
Ready for them to bring him back. I'm so sick and tired of them going, oh, Nick Fury gave me this. Oh, I'm talking to Nick Fury and Captain America. Well... No, you're not. He's not there in the panel.
Hmm.
What the fuck?
It's all assumed.
Hey, do you think that anybody other than the New Avengers are Skrulls, though?
Okay, Oh, how about Iron Man? Because, you know, everybody's going to...
No. No.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
No, it's too easy.
He's just a douche.
It's too easy. He's just a douche.
Because, I mean, everybody threw that at me at Midtown the other day when I went to pick up New Avengers. Oh, you know, what if he's a Skrull? He set up Civil War. You know, he went out to space with the Illuminati. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like they said that they wouldn't retcon Civil War, so...
Ooh.
If we really believe that they're not going to retcon Civil War, then he can't be a Skrull.
You know
he cannot
be
a Skrull.
You know what would be...
Hank Pym. Skrull.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Because he was kidnapped in Civil War. He could have been gone at any time.
It's not only that, but what better way to get rid of Hank Pym as a wife beater than
Ooh,
to say
yeah.
that years ago he got replaced? And
oh,
that,
I don't want that.
Well, it would explain Yellowjacket's behavior.
But that was since, like, issue 18. Wasn't Stan Lee still writing it when he was beating people?
No!
That's right, True Believer!
No, Yellowjacket was way after Stan Lee.
Okay.
He was Giant Man when Stan was on it.
Yeah. But but also, what about Doctor Strange?
The magic thing throws me off.
He's not a Skrull.
Okay, because I'm only thinking that because of Illuminati, because if it's not going to be Iron Man, maybe it's Doctor Strange. Because he was on that trip, too.
I don't think any of the Illuminati are maybe Mr. Fantastic, but I don't think any of the other ones.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think any of them are
Skrulls. He's on vacation with Sue. Sue would know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She would definitely know what her own husband's like, so, yeah.
Well, he has been acting weird, but...
Yeah,
you know,
but
whatever.
He's been acting weird. He's been acting Reed weird. Not,
yeah, exactly.
Not Reed weird. So
yeah. So I don't think any of the Illuminati are Skrulls, but I think maybe the Illuminati event caused the Skrulls to start infiltrating.
Yeah.
Probably would have been
Oh, hey, how about this? Okay. All right. And I know, try not to crack up when I say this. All right. Penance. Okay. Go ahead. Crack up.
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
Because an absolute complete turnaround in character, okay? Yeah. From being upset to being self-mutilating.
Yeah. Because you know what? A Skrull doesn't care about the mutilation because they change their shape.
Yeah.
They don't have wounds.
And also, what about the times when, like, you see his face and it looks perfectly fine?
Yeah, exactly.
It would make... A hell of a lot of sense.
It causes the Civil War without making it Tony Stark, but then it's still sort of... No, it doesn't retcon Civil War.
It doesn't retcon Civil War. No, it doesn't.
It's still... The laws would still have been... It was still out there. It's just that Stanford pushed it forward.
You can even say that, I mean, he was in Civil War, but it was after Civil War that he got replaced. The body that they found in Frontline could have been a Skrull.
Yeah... Because we never see his body fly off.
Yeah.
Or at that point where the ambulance explodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any of these points. Because...
Like, it could be blown up, transported in. Yeah.
It's just so freaking easy to make him a Skrull. That's why...
It is.
I got a better one.
Yeah.
Norman Osborn.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I heard a theory on the Comics Pants podcast, all right? And really, really good podcast if you haven't listened to it. ComicsPants.com. But... They had a theory that all this time, Norman Osborn's been the chameleon. Ever since he came back, Norman Osborn's been the chameleon. You haven't seen a chameleon since Osborn came back. Chameleon's European, so that would explain why he was in Europe all those years. That the chameleon's personality was just
Gwen
so...
Stacy.
Yeah. And I mean, the chameleon is just so fragile-minded that... He decided to impersonate Norman Osborn to get power and eventually bought into the fact that he was Norman Osborn.
Yeah, he's so sold on it.
But if you were to change that theory to a Skrull since he came back, that would be really, really fucked up.
Yeah, because then when he first came back, all he did was fuck with Peter's life.
Yeah.
And Peter's nobody.
Yeah.
So, but then what perfect way then to... You know, maintain the whole. I mess with Spider-Man because that's what Norman Osborn would have done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I see. And now he's got power. He's the leader of the Thunderbolts.
Oh, and what better way to explain how Wolverine's in eight places at once? That one of the eight places he's a Skrull.
Yeah, they mentioned that in the preview of the next new Avengers issue.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. No, because they have the whole... they're in the jet, and they're talking about, are you all fucking Skrulls? You're a fucking Skrull. No, I don't think I'm a Skrull. I could be a Skrull.
I have a confession to make. I'm a Skrull.
I knew it. You know how I knew?
How?
Because the first meetup was completely different. After that, you said you had a cold a couple times. And you just totally got replaced then. I knew it.
I'm sorry.
I'm a Kree.
Yeah.
I've been a Kree the whole time.
Oh, shit.
Question?
Yeah.
Does this explain why you're still a cheap Jew?
Yes, you would have thought that my character would have built itself up after a while, but no, I just stay the way I am. I'm sorry.
Okay, I believe it.
I have one thing to say. Oy vey, motherfucker. Oh, man. All right, I think we're done here, I think. But you want to touch on Flash just ever so slightly to give a little bit of a preview?
All right, the next BK's Bullets, also going to be hosted by me, although Ian might drop in.
I might drop in.
Actually, you know what? That would be a weird turnaround. You could host BK's Bullets.
Ho-ho! Possible. Certainly possible. Go on.
We'll see. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
It is going to be a 10, 15, 20-minute discussion. Me and Ian just ranting about the Flash 13 and its effects on the DC Universe.
Yeah. And to me, just to give you a little bit of a advance warning, I'm going to be bitching and moaning about how ever so slowly every single member of Young Justice gets fucked over.
Yes.
Because at this point, there are two members of Young Justice that are still operational. Two. That's it. Two. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Wonder Girl was a part of Young Justice, right?
No. Yeah, Wonder Girl and Robin. And Robin, you can't count Lobo because that was Slobo, his clone.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to count him, but... Yeah. You know, everybody else is either retired, dead, powerless...
Red Tornado.
Oh, yeah, Red Tornado. Okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but he doesn't count.
He got fucked over a couple times.
He's immortal. He's freaking practically immortal.
What happened to Snapper Carr? Where's Snapper Carr?
He took the picture in JRA 7.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I thought the Joker ate him.
Take a picture, Snapper.
Okay,
so cool. Yeah, that's going to be the next BK's Bullets. Look for that somewhere around episode 49 or 30.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm in the beginning stages of planning out an episode of Raging Bullets that I might be on. It's in the way, way future, though, because it's after their giant episode 50 celebration, so it'll be in like 4 months.
I'm also going to be on Raging Bullets for the Blue Beetle segment. They announced that a while ago.
Oh, cool.
That'll be during episode 50.
Awesome. Yeah.
And Raph, you have yet to be on, right? Sorry.
Achim.
Go ahead. Achim. Sorry. So, Raph, what do you got?
I'm supposed to be recording a Geeks Unite sometime soon. It's going to be about Green Lantern, Sinestro Corps special. We're going to do Transformers, the movie review of it, and Spider-Man Reign. That will be out within the next week or two, because my hard drive with all the stuff, like my bumpers and my intro music, my outro music, all that stuff is on there, so I can't access it as of right now.
You want to know who I think a Skrull is? Optimus Prime.
Oh, that would totally destroy
it makes perfect sense. I mean, come on. How else can he transform himself from a truck into a machine? You know? I mean, unless you have Skrull DNA going, it just doesn't make any sense.
How else does he go from a red truck to a blue truck with red flames?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Exactly. Wow.
But then how the hell does he open the Autobot Matrix of Leadership?
How did he get lips?
those lips are...
Oh, boy. Yeah, but... And Raph has himself a brand new bumper as well that you'll be hearing on the show.
Hopefully. Tune into that one, folks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ian, what do we got upcoming on Comic Timing?
Well, upcoming on Comic Timing, sometime in the next couple of weeks, possibly even sooner than that, we're going to have finally the what comics are going to be like in 20 years. And what I want to do with this is I'm putting a shout-out out there to anybody, and I mean anybody, who listens to Comic Timing, who has a microphone. I want your audio comments for this episode. I want to know from everybody out there who wants to be a part of the show what you think comics are going to be like in 20 years.
3 minutes or less. Let's say that right now.
3 minutes or less, unless you have something really awesome to say.
Unless you're David D.
Unless you're David D. Unless you're Steven from Just Another Fanboy, John Mayo, that sort of stuff. Well, John Mayo could be on the show for all I know.
Unless you're cool, less than 3 minutes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. try to make it 5 minutes or less. How about that?
Yeah,
all right.
Five minutes or less.
And if you're over that, I'm not going to kill you.
Audio comments.
One, no girlfriend talk.
But yeah, I want people to be a part of this. I want to know what you guys feel about comics in 20 years. So give me your audio comments. Send them over to comictiming@gmail.com or, you know, even PM me on the forums with a link if it's too big to be sent by email, and I'll put you on the show. So I definitely want your opinion on that. As of now, it's probably going to be H. Dutch 007 himself, and probably also going to be joined by Mr. Comic Book Noise himself, Derek Coward. So this is all, again, preliminary, but we talked about this in the past, and it was actually brought up by H. Dutch himself. So we're hopefully going to get that going sometime soon. So keep yourself posted to Comic Timing. Also have some other episodes in the pipeline that are still being worked out, and I'll let you guys know when those are actually available. And you know where to get them because you're listening to the show.
Word up.
Word. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank my two fine panelists tonight for showing up.
Ooh,
and,
what?
Giving us your perspective on Mocha and the DC poster.
You're quite welcome, Brent. And I must say, it is absolutely lovely being on your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you, Ian. Even though it's not really my podcast, I owe it all to this great young man named Raf Su who got me inspired to podcast.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, I thank
whoa.
You.
Whoa, hold on here. Wait, just, alright, fine. All right.
Remember, the world may be divided, but these geeks are united.
One listener at a time.
Alright, folks.
In and around.
And around.
All right.
All right, the email for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. You can check out Comic Timing at www.speakgeekspeak.com/comictiming. You can also find us on iTunes or any of those iPod podcast device thingies. Check us out. Leave us an iTunes review. Dig us at dig.com. You can also dig all the other podcasts. It's on the forum. Go check it out. Thanks, you free guys. And remember, there's always time for comics.
Check us out on the forums, and we're a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
CGSPodcast.com/forum, graciously hosted by the folks at Comic Geek Speak.
And as always, everybody.
As always. Right?
As
three,
always.
Two, one. There's always,
time for comics.
Bye.
Hey there, folks. This is Ian Levenstein introducing Comic Timing. Tonight we're going to do a little special about Mocha. Ian and Raph went there. Oh, wait. I'm not Ian. I'm Brent. Right. Anyway,
yeah,
Ian and Raph
yeah.
went to Mocha last weekend, and we're going to get their perspective about Mocha versus regular comic conventions. We're also going to talk about the DC villain image and who the world's greatest game show, Who the Fuck is this Girl? Ian, how you doing?
It really sounded like you said, "Who the fuck is this girl?" as opposed to "Who the fuck is a Skrull?" But other than that, I'm doing great.
Doing great. Yeah. We also got Raph here on the line. Raph, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. By the way, just to refresh everybody's memories here, he is the co-host, not co-host. But for today, just for today, only because I happened to just barely press record in time for him to actually introduce the show. He's mainly the host today because we went to Mocha, like he said, and he's got questions to ask us about Mocha. But because he didn't get a chance to actually let me prepare, I'll be back in a second.
I was just kidding. I didn't know I'd go on forever.
It's a Vance Skyver version.
We can start that over if you want.
Oh, God. Oh, that was fucking hilarious, actually.
Loop reel.
All right. So, brain dead.
Brain no function well without ear.
It's only 11:35.
Give me a topic.
It's 11:35, man.
Give me a topic and I can form a question about it.
Okay, fine.
Masturbating bears.
You didn't think we were going to really spend 2 hours on
Favorite creators.
All right.
So all of a sudden I just hear boom, and I'm like, ooh, that's fucking scary.
But you know, here, over here, it's you know, people are shooting their guns off over because I live in a dangerous neighborhood.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You live in the gangster's paradise.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
It's been the most our life.
Living in an Amish paradise.
Yeah. Right,
hold on.
All right.
Be right back.
All right. Thank you. Brent's gone. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys. So we're back here on Comic Timing. Yeah. Sorry about that. You know, Brent Fricassini took over for a while, but it's all right. He's gone now. You can come out. You're safe now. Yeah. So how's life, Raph? What's going on?
Doing pretty good. I mean, you should put timestamps on so they can know when to avoid the casino.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, because I mean,
totally.
Like, when he shows up, he just brings the entire show down.
He is the Alexa Kitchen of the show.
Ooh, snap! I mean, you mean he's evil himself?
Yes.
Oh.
He is going to inherit Earth 50. Actually.
Hey, there's a 53rd Earth with nothing but Brent Cassina.
Yeah, that's true. It's like the Crisis on Infinite Bullets, which will never get finished ever.
All right.
Jimmy Skid.
The email address for Comic Timing is Comic Timing. Oh, hey, Brent. Well, crap. Shit. Yeah. All right. Cool. Okay. All right. So yeah, let's go.
Are you guys doing BK's look?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the Flash.
Okay.
On the Flash and how much we hate what happened in the Flash.
You're not invited.
Well, I mean, I didn't like it too, but considering they brought back Wally, I mean, do you want two Flashes running around?
Yeah, Wally, that comes out, like, next year, right? That's a new Pixar movie, right?
Wally. Sounds like E.T. Speak and spell.
Wally.
That's what they use for the voice.
Wally for the
voice.
Your friend?
I know. Let's not pay an actor. Let's use speak and spell.
Yay! All right. Let's finish the show. I got to pack. Come on.
All right.